Noon, holiday weekend. Nice to be spending time with you here on KDKA. With me on the Disinformation Newsline, Kimberly Blair is with us. She's an associate professor of psychiatry, the faculty of the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Pittsburgh, dealing with young children, abuse and violence problems. Fascinating things that you've been talking about. When you're dealing with young kids, Kim, that are... that people may say, well, they won't remember that later on. Kids do remember that later on. Do you, when you are treating these kids, do you many times come away thinking, okay, we've alleviated this problem, but this young child is going to have memories of this for the rest of their lives, or can those memories be erased or changed somehow?
I don't think memories will be erased or changed, but they may be easier for them to deal with. I think as kids get older and go through each phase of development, and then they'll understand the way the world works and the way relationships work, you may have to go back and sort of talk again about the things that happened so they can understand it on a level that's more appropriate to where their brains mature to. Talking to a teenager about early abuse is very different than talking to a 5-year-old or 6-year-old. But, you know, we were talking earlier about how kids can experience things very early on in life. And while they don't remember specific events, those things that happen to them still stick with them. For example, a child that may have had some serious things happen over the holidays, abuse, neglect, being left. We actually had a family that there were some those kinds of issues that happened to a child when they were very young, infant, toddler age. Mm-hmm. Eventually got placed with a great family, a great mom, but so he was having significant behavioral issues, and we worked with that, and things progressed. But what we noticed after working with them over a long period of time is sort of after Thanksgiving or after Halloween more, things would sort of go off the rails. And it wasn't until we noticed the cycle a couple of times that we were able to go back and figure out that a lot of things happened over the holidays for this child in their very early history. And it was just the sights, the sounds, the smells, the kinds of things that sort of Christmas and the holidays bring, the lights and all of those kind, even the weather change, can trigger some of those sort of early events and cause some emotional outbursts and manifestations that the child and the families may not initially understand. But once you're sort of aware of the full picture and everything that happened to that particular child, you can go back and sort of see where some of that may come from and how, after the holidays are over, things sort of stabilize. And so when you figure those things out, then you're able to better sort of try and address those through treatments and some changes the family can make in terms of how they celebrate holidays, those kinds of things. So knowing, what happened early on is really helpful. And sometimes we don't, even as therapists specializing in this, it takes the kids sort of trying to communicate that to us over a number of years before we may, in this particular situation, pick up what's going on.
Do you find as a therapist that people, but kids, really want to communicate? They really want to tell you what's wrong, but don't know how to do it? I mean, that's where your expertise comes in, the ability to make them feel safe to reveal in any form, be it play or simply to speak it to you, what's going on and why things are happening. And I imagine you do that in a way that doesn't seem threatening or put them on guard, so that, if it works well, it just comes out and you're able to learn and then help them.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes, all kids are different, and sometimes it takes a really long time for us to get a sense of when it's time to sort of try and go there to talk about those things. And that's why we do things through play. They can start communicating with you when they're ready, and sometimes it feels like session after session you're not getting very far, but what's happening is that trust is being built with a therapist and with a parent, where the child can start to to begin to become comfortable enough with those adults in that situation to be able to eventually start playing things out or even talking about some of the things that go on. But, you know, it does. That's one of the reasons this federal grant was so great to get, is because that kind of training for therapists is really labor-intensive and really expensive, and so to implement. And so, you know, now I feel very blessed to have a large number, a group of really well-trained therapists who have this specialization and can really do work with families that has very significant impact and is very effective in helping helping them mend after traumatic events happen early in a child's life.
We talk, I've been talking about violence and abuse. A lot of people, especially these days, probably do not consider alcoholism or opioid abuse violence or abuse concerning their children. That's my problem. You know, I'm dealing with this. That has to have a tremendous effect when you consider that the parents are going around the house, and I don't mean this in a bad way, essentially stoned, drunk, not able to really communicate with these kids. That really must be the latest thing that's taken a toll on kids.
Right. And, you know, for years our programs have had some specialization in working with kids who have been born addicted or exposed prenatally or have parents with mental illness, including, you know, drug and alcohol issues.
Sure.
And, you know, to boil it down to a very simple way of looking at it, those adults in that child's life, particularly for younger kids, are their safety net. They're the responsible adult that will help keep them safe. And, you know, when kids see that safety being threatened because, you know, that adult in their lives isn't really
responsible,
able to take care of them as well as they could, that can have some significant damage to their ability to be able to trust that anyone's going to be able to take care of them. So it does have significant impact, and I appreciate you bringing that up, because it is something specifically that our grant is trying to help address. They're working specifically with families who have some of that drug and alcohol history. And working with the families, too, to try and help support those parents. But sometimes, you know, it's an intergenerational trauma that sort of leads to some of that early, some of that drug use. And so through working with the parent and child together and sort of trying to demonstrate for the parent, too, how that's affecting their relationship, hopefully that can improve the parents own functioning as well.
I have just about a minute here left, Kim. We could go on this whole program. This is fascinating. But what is the first step for people who want to get help for their kids? I mean, is it a matter of a phone call? Is it a matter of referral to get with the good work that you folks do? Or what is that first step to getting help?
Well, you can call our main number, and what will happen then is someone will take your information, and then you'll get a call back from a therapist on staff that knows a lot about this and can ask kinds of questions that will help us design a program for you that meets your needs, or refer you to another program that we think is more appropriate for you. There's a lot of really great mental health programs in Allegheny County in particular. And that number is 412-383-1559. And again, we work with infants through 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, but even if a family doesn't know sort of where to go and they have an older kid, we can help try and connect them to what the most appropriate services are.
That's great. I appreciate you taking the time on a holiday weekend and a busy Saturday, but it certainly was really enlightening to talk with you. I hope we get a chance to talk some more about any number of things. But, Kim, thank you for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Have a good weekend. Thank you.
You too.
That is Kimberly Blair, and she is she's Associate Professor of Psychiatry, the faculty of the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Pittsburgh. Those folks are doing good work.